pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
Minds from around the world. This is the Nerds That Know. Stash here, along with my wonderful cohort of friends and family, all of which who failed to show up last week. It was awful. Hearts were broken, minds were scattered, and spirits were destroyed. I am so sorry to all our delicious and lovely fans. We are here for you this week, and you have been missed.
We are very sorry, but we are here now. And we love you.
I'm not sorry.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad you're not sorry.
You know. We're ready to reach out to you and touch you in your dark, sensitive spaces and make you feel all warm and fuzzy by the end of it.
You know, and in fairness, you know, I did paddle Fox for missing the show last week.
Yeah, and I just woke up from a nap, so our lovely listeners get to hear my deep, gravelly voice.
It's kind of Demi Moore-ish. I like it.
You know.
Yeah.
Although the only problem with that is now I need new panties.
Skidoosh.
That's okay. Just mull and ride in them, Bobby. You're all good. Well, introduce yourselves, my cohort of minions.
Well, as previously stated, I would be the, you know, sexually frustrated Bobby. What's up?
I'm the sexually satisfied Fox.
Woo! I'm so proud. That's such good news.
Yeah, I know. We all heard it. Thank you.
Oh, you did?
Wow.
You're not quiet.
That was cheeky.
That was evidently it was.
Yeah, quite cheeky, apparently.
Smurf here. I'm neutral. Just call me Switzerland. I have no idea.
Sexually ambiguous. Right. Smurf?
I got nothing. I'm not talking to anybody. I got nobody talking to me. It's just I need wine. Thank you.
He's a lonely, lonely man. Nothing but his nice cold bottle of wine.
It's a cab. It's not, well, kind of warm, I guess. Yeah.
And I guess that would make me the actively monogamous tank.
Gross.
Yes, very gross.
Well, I appreciate that from you, Tank, since you're married to my sister.
Exactly.
And then we have George, the sexy librarian.
Where's George?
George?
Oh, yeah. George the sexy librarian.
Is that the one that's in your head?
Nope.
Oh.
It's a whole thing.
Well, it's a whole thing. None of us know. We have exciting things to talk about. So
Fox
much has
knows.
Happened.
Fox was there. Stash has been renamed.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
What?
It's true.
I missed the context on this one.
God damn it. Is this when my partner came over yesterday?
Possibly.
Oh, uh-oh. My God.
There's been some chat about you, apparently.
There's always chat about me.
Oh, speaking of which, hi, Morgana.
I wasn't sure if...
He says, ha, 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 ha. I know.
But... Yes, we have many things to talk about. And first off, I want to talk about my favorite and most exciting thing, which is Love, Death, Robots Season 2. And guys, what did you think? Oh, wait, I don't care. Let me tell you what I think first. No, please, you guys go first and I will contribute because I don't want to dominate this conversation.
Yes, you do. From what I understand, you enjoy domination.
Wow. You should go first.
Wow. Even I know that. Apparently based on a very short conversation.
It's too goddamn short.
It is.
Eight episodes. 10
And they were
maybe 12 minutes each episode. I thought there was going to be more to it.
The longest was 17, and the shortest was 5. I watched them all again today.
Fucking sucked.
And it took me about 2 hours.
I'm going to be honest. I like season one more.
Yep.
Overall.
I agree.
I like the stories better.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't really like any like standout kind of cool characters, maybe one or two, but I mean, first season had way more characters that this, and then there's this. And I mean, granted, the animation by far is better than last season in regards to a couple of the episodes, but
to some of them, yeah.
I mean, why couldn't we get more? And I don't have like a big standout like we did last season with like the robots or, you know, the bug planet or, you know, the tomb. There were so many standouts. It's just like, damn, this season was kind of like, well, okay. And no weird twists.
Not really.
No, I mean, there's only one twist that was like, okay, it's not what I thought it was, but it's still, I guess, kind of a twist. It wasn't what I was expecting, but I was kind of thinking that's what it was. And it was with the guy on the planet with the woman following him. He's got the bounty on his head.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that was Snow. Yeah, that one was kind of cool.
That one was very cool.
That one was cool.
When
he
got fucking wrecked and, like, was half, you know, what was underneath, I was like, this is the hottest thing ever.
Yeah, and I was like,
hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining us.
And I honestly was not. I mean, I was expecting some kind of twist like that just because they've set that precedent.
Yeah.
So
there's more twists in the first season.
Yes. Because I was figuring one of two things, that she was like him or she got pregnant.
Hi, Michelle.
Him.
Whoa. Reverb.
Oh, yeah, we were getting major reverb.
I fixed it.
Okay. All
right.
So those were my two thoughts on that storyline, because it's like she's either going to be like him or get impregnated by him and then hand over his genetic material and be an army of him.
There was one other twist, and it was my favorite one, which was the all through the house.
Oh, yes.
That was a fun little twist.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it.
That's one way to ensure you're a good boy, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Sacrifice.
Were there any that connected to the first season like we were hoping?
No.
So, tonally, yes. And there was some work from some same studios. I could tell that.
Yeah, there was similar artists, but there wasn't any direct storyline connections.
Yeah, there was definitely no overlap with characters, the world, or anything like that. But I will say this season was a lot weaker, but I feel like the main issue they had with this season is they didn't hit those really big points that the first season did. Like, what is identity? What is it to be human? What is the purpose to life? It's like all of these really big questions were addressed in the first season. Who is good? Who is evil? And the second one, the main one it really addressed was the development of AI. Which, don't get me wrong, is interesting, but it was done in the first season.
And that's only kind of. That was only really touched on. There was not a lot.
Oh,
there's most of them. Because there's the robot dog. The whole episode is the guy standing there or laying there playing dead. The robot in the first one with Sacrifice the Puppy. I mean.
See, to me, though, like when I was watching through this, everything I was seeing a lot more, or at least it seemed like more to me, was this is what it's like to be human in a weird world. That's like a lot of what I got from it was, this is like the human oddity that exists, you know?
Okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Because even the main, even the first story, which was dominated by a AI versus human relationship, the focal point was the human dealing with a weird AI situation.
And what was it this one with the planet and the population? I think it was the second season, this one with the weird guy living in the like secluded room and building the new utopia off world and leaving everybody behind. I can't remember. Was it this season?
Wasn't this one.
Maybe it's something else I watched that was animated.
I don't know. It's got to be something else because I don't remember anything like that.
They're blurring together now. Great.
See, and I didn't see a whole lot of
AI. You know what? All baked infinity will do that to you, Smurf.
Yeah, true story.
Like, the last season seemed a lot more focused on the AI perspective of things. This one was very dominated by humans.
We're just now tuning in. We are talking about love, death, and robots. And like, not just, you know, the crazy dreams that these three menfolk have on a regular basis.
Because even, like, the most... Like, which one would you say was dominated by an AI? The first story had more than most of them actually did. There was a lot of human, like, development or human mutation and stuff like that, where humans evolved past what they were.
The immortal planet was pretty screwed up.
Well, a lot of those were like, even like the ice,
but that's
that was focused on human, human evolution. Snow was still kind of focused on that.
I still think the first season was more development of people, especially when you look at the fox spirit. You see the transformation, you know, and the sacrifice that it went through on that, where this was more AI and future stuff. It just, I don't know.
I don't dispute the future stuff part. I that's true. A lot of it was futuristic, but it seemed like almost everything was focused on a human.
Hi, Luna.
Dealing with something weird in this new space that they don't understand or aren't used to.
Well, I mean, for one thing, that's a storytelling feature. I mean, that's something they could have just done to make it more relatable to the viewers. I don't necessarily think that was always the focus, but I do think it always was something to latch on to. Like, I don't think the story of Snow was the story of Snow at all. I think it was the story of AI.
Well, I don't disagree. It was there was a lot of story with, you know, that, but even then there still was a large focus on the surface on Snow.
Mm-hmm. There
a
was.
A lot of it was focused on that.
Yeah, that's just surface looking though.
But even Pop Squad, that was focused on human evolution. Tall Grass was focused on human mutation, I'm assuming.
No, that one was done by the same crew who did Fish Night.
Yes.
And it's a similar concept where they are traveling through an alternative reality
So here's my question to the three of you who have watched the entire season at this point. Do you feel that each episode is then up entirely for interpretation, or is there actually a description on each individual episode which says, like, this is the journey through, you know, whatever cosmic way of putting things that they want us to understand?
Little bit of interpretation, but I felt a lot of this season was a lot more straightforward.
I don't know.
They had a story they were trying to tell, a very specific one.
What was the train story?
I think that was legitimately just supposed to be a creepy story. I think that was supposed to tap into that
crisis. Don't get off the train.
That fear thing that we all have as human beings of the unknown, and when we go investigate the unknown, what can happen?
Okay, well, let's move on so we don't give away anything for those who haven't watched this season yet. But Love, Death, and Robots, season 2, worth watching. Not as good as season 1, but all in all, the boys say it's good.
Is there going to be a second part to this season, Stash? Do you remember seeing anything?
I haven't heard anything yet, but I think they're just doing this in parts. I don't think they're breaking up seasons the way they were. It's just part one, part two. Because, like, trying to go between the episodes, it was such a fucking mess on Netflix already.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was just, like, I was trying to rewatch it today, and I had to just select one, start it over, and then just go down the list. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything, but I'd be shocked if it isn't. Although this season has not been nearly as successful as the previous.
No.
Nope.
It's worth watching because they are interesting stories.
Yeah,
it was not as good as the first.
Yeah, it was a showcase and animation this time.
Yes,
a lot more than it was the first time. The first one was a lot more on story. So,
yeah, my favorite one still is three robots from season one. That's still my favorite story.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really like the giant one in this one, but mine is
that one was cool. Yeah, it was weird, but it was cool.
Well, let's move on to George the Librarian's second favorite thing, and that is reading.
That is what?
Reading.
Reading.
Yeah, reading. It's not your first
favorite. I don't know how to read. Don't you know this?
This is
God, I only told you guys to read that book. Hail Mary is a book that recently came out by Andy Weir, who is the creator of The Martian and what was the name of the second book? I can't remember.
Hold on, I have his information up here right now.
Yeah, it starts with an
Artemis.
E. Yes.
That starts with an A.
And well, I was close.
That goes back to the you not being able to read. And apparently I can't be able to
read. Exactly, I can't read. So I'm obviously just making this all up.
I've had a chance to also read Hail Mary.
Tank, did you get around to it or no?
Yeah. It was all right.
I honestly feel about the same. I think it was all right. I think some of the ideas that were addressed in it were very interesting. I just don't know if they were done in quite the right way.
I would agree.
I do like the integration of some of the concepts that were in
Oh my God, it's
Okay, well, Stash is trying to think.
Did you say the
I enjoyed it.
Your arrival.
It's definitely worth a read.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I was thinking there's like almost like a Dead Space feel to it.
I mean, in a way.
Like that isolation aspect of it, not like the alien hunting shit. I'm talking about like that isolation, that lone survivor kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is definitely understandable because the way he set up and designed the story was to force this feeling of isolation, to force these two unique characters together. Yep. I'm not going to go any further than that, but
we will say you should read it.
Yeah, the plot was definitely designed to force those two, and the ending was actually very interesting because of how that resolved.
I agree. It was not as cookie cutter as it was laid out to be.
No, it was very much, he took traditional tropes and redefined them, and that's what he's done. I mean, he's done that with all of his hard science fiction.
See, I don't know if I'd say redefine.
I would.
I'd say he played with.
He reinterprets
with some tropes.
Yeah.
I would agree with Tank on that. You have your pug.
He is definitely, that is massive pug.
It's not even the largest that they make, but I got Rowan a Squashmallow.
Nice. It was definitely an interesting read. The science behind it, because it's hard sci-fi, more of it is true than most people assume. Yeah. There is obviously
theoretical. All of the math behind it, like the math that's in it, like actually it made me think of my little sister, because there were times in the book where he's just like, you know, I'm doing the thing, and then I wonder what the math is like. Okay, no, I just have to stop what I'm doing so I can do the math. Oh my God, look at the math.
See, that's what made me, it made me think of Asimov in that regard.
Yeah, and see, it made me think of Puppet in that.
Yeah, I was getting Foundation feelings from it.
Yeah, there was a lot of intricacies in the scientific aspects of it that you have to be kind of interested in that field. You kind of stick with it through parts of it.
One of our viewers tonight, Luna Whisper, says, cough, cough, I think everyone should read the Insanity series, cough, cough.
Which one's that one?
The Insanity series is a modern take on Alice in Wonderland.
Like, did it the comic books a couple years ago?
I think it's a little older than that. I can look it up.
Because they did like an Alice in Wonderland thing not too long ago.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about those books coming out, but I never got around to reading them. But this book was very interesting. I think he laid a bit more into the science than he did with The Martian.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he laid into the science quite as much as he did on Artemis, because that book was...
That's very heavy-handed in the science. That's an Isimov ripoff. That's what that one was.
Yeah,
you're gonna get buried in the science for a little while.
Yeah, but I mean, it's his stick. It's honestly what he does. There's very few authors who are doing quality hard sci-fi, and he's one of the few we have, and he's doing an all right job of it. I would say The Martian so far is his like ultimate piece, but I mean, I hope he gets to at least that level.
That was the best one. Martian was the best one, and part of that is there. He didn't rely on the hard science. He used the hard science to just give you an idea of what emotional state the character is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was part of the story. It wasn't like it wasn't a crutch for the story. It was just part of the story.
Yeah. It's like, in many ways, these are the science is the story, and the characters are just there to drive the story forward.
The feeling of isolation, like you were saying.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I would recommend giving it a read, but I wouldn't say it's like a 10 out of 10 must read. I would give it a good solid. Like, I enjoyed it, and it's a pretty quick read.
Seven?
Sorry?
Yeah, it was a very quick read.
Yeah, I'd give it a 7, maybe an 8.
Yeah.
A low 8.
Yeah,
like
I agree with Hank, 7.5. You know?
Yeah, just because of how he... Yeah. How he developed his second character that he really went into was fascinating. It was very interesting. That was
cool, yeah.
And I look forward to hearing more in your comments and stuff like that on our page about thoughts you have on it, because it is a fascinating theoretical design. So it's very, very intriguing.
And it's a quick read. I will say that.
It is a very quick read. It's
very quick.
You know, when Stash told me it was a quick read, I wasn't entirely sure how it was actually going to be, because I've seen the way that man reads. It's not quite, Spencer in Criminal Minds quick, but it's pretty damn fast. But yeah, I got through it in just a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should say that is subjective on the quick read part, but.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of stuff in the sci-fi genre, it was
I would say it's a quick and pleasurable read, because it's not, it's easy to just kind of continue on with it. It's not something that you'll get lost in.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you get lost in the science, it's easy enough to just skip over.
Take a minute, wiki it.
Yeah. I mean, I never had a problem with it, but I can understand how some of the convolutions can get a little complicated. And feel free to skip them over. They don't take away from the plot at all.
And that's just the way he writes, you know, like you said.
It is, because it's the hard sci-fi, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, speaking of reading, let's go to something that Stash will buy but not read, and that is The Last Ronin 3.
Okay, I will read it. That's rude. Eventually I'll read it. It takes me the right energy to read comics. And that doesn't happen all the time. I would like to read this one moderately quickly, but I don't know when I'm going to get it. So
as soon as I can get it to you.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know about you, Smurf, but I read give or take 20 books a week, depending on what's released.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture of actual physical copies and digital ones. If I like exactly. it digitally, I'll go buy it. But
yeah. But there is a certain point. There's some books where you have to be in that mindset of, all right, let's get through this.
No, that's very, very accurate. There are some you're just like, I'm not physically prepared for this story.
Although I will say, like, switching up a little bit, but kind of staying in the comic realm, I liked the they're doing the Heroes Reborn, which is basically just Justice League and Marvel.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite story, though, did you read Shutterbug? That one was actually really cool.
The Spider-Man story? That yeah. one was nice. The Fantastic Four one that came out this week was kind of cool just because it was a different perspective from an older story, you know, from them back in the day, which was kind of cool. Hyperion is a badass. I mean, he's the Superman of the Marvel,
universe. But better, if we're yeah. being honest.
And I kind of dig that. So, I mean, there's been some interesting things. Just the Heroes Reborn title just rubs me raw from back in the 90s.
Past experience.
You Marvel can't... did this once before, so it's just...
I like their approach better this time around.
And we'll see where they go with it. We don't know how long standing. We don't know shit to come yeah. be completely honest with you.
I do like that. I liked the Spider-Man specifically, the Shutterbug mm-hmm. story. That one was kind of cool because it's a different lens for Peter Parker to live through.
Yeah. And this week we've got Magneto in a hover chair leading yep. the Magneto's men, which yep. will be kind of interesting to read. So who knows? But then, it may be fun at the end. I don't know.
But yeah, getting back to TMNT, sorry about that segue, but I thought that was kind of a...
Yeah, and there's been like different series that you can't just read issue and wait. There's mm-hmm. some that you just you need it all to just power through and you don't want to wait.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And I mean, the TMNT is only going to be 5 issues. They're saying this week's issue number 3 is going to be a big setup for the climactic end for issue 5. So yep. we'll see. I have no idea what we're expecting, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, all I've heard, like you said, all I've heard about it so far is that there's a lot of important setup in this one for how it's going to play out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Which is exciting. I'm excited to see that journey. Do we know, have we heard anything about the working relationship between Eastman and, fuck me, what's his name?
Eastman and Laird.
Laird. We heard anything about how they've been working together on this? Has it been going pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of reconciled their differences. Yeah. I don't know if they are going to be as close as they once were. However, they are on speaking terms, and they are working together again.
Which is good, because that's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's decades of distance, and I think he's still yeah. kind of pissed off about the toy deals and the cartoons and everything and the breakup. So it's very delicate. Egos were bruised, and any man will tell you.
I wouldn't say that was more than a bruise.
Yeah, that was
I took that shit personally.
That was an outright flogging with a sack of quarters is what that was. That was
just ass whooping. That's
what that was harsh. There are 2 trade paperbacks that are coming out this week
yes.
that are must reads. You've got Crossover, which yes. Tank was absolutely praising.
Oh god, that was beautiful.
I absolutely is what for issue number 1 and wrote it all the way through. The trade paper for that is coming out. And Authority volume number 2, which is Mike Millar and Frank Quietly. This mm-hmm. series has been out of print for an extremely long amount of time. It is so well done. It's kind of in the same vein as Jupiter's Legacy and Wanted, and it is just and even Invincible.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic.
So, and volume 2 is coming out this week, so I don't think this trade's been in print for the better part of
15 years.
Yeah, I was going to say about 10, actually. I think 10 years is close to when this was available for print. So grab volume one, pick up volume two this week, and hopefully they'll follow through with the remaining three or four volumes for this series.
If you are in the Colorado Springs, Denver area, get your volumes from Knox Nostalgia Collectibles.
There you go.
I do not have my authorities yet, but yes, I will have some. I will say this. I've talked to some of my compadres in the distribution. If you would like, following up on what you said about Invincible, it's almost impossible to find basically the entire first volume of that. But Image does seem to have, if you go to your local LCS and ask them politely for a special order, Invincible is in stock to some distributors currently. So you might be able to at least get the trades from volume 1 through 3 is the ones that I saw available.
And I think a lot of them are still out there. I mean, 1 is impossible if you can get it. 2 is dodgy. 3, 4, 5, yeah. They're holes throughout, just kind of like similar with Walking Dead or Why the Last Man. Those are trades that are always in demand, and they kind of fluctuate as far as availability. So,
and they are becoming available again, I think, because of the success of the show.
Oh, you know it.
Distribution opened up a little bit, and I was able to get my hands on some of them too. So I was like, okay, cool.
Because you know the one thing that Kirkman is not allergic to? It's money.
He loves it.
And that it's Skybound, so it's his baby, his product, his paycheck.
If you go to your LCS, I wouldn't recommend ordering through Image directly. They will charge you a shit ton of money to ship you anything. But if you go to your LCS and do a special order, you can probably get your hands on the first couple volumes of Invincible.
And then you will know what Tank and I know. Dun, dun, dun. Or at least some of it.
I'd rather know what I know.
Tank, hook a sister up.
All right.
Hook a sister up. I wants to know.
Well, in fairness, I am his sister, and he should hook me up.
I agree 100%.
You know,
everybody should get hooked up by Tank. God damn it.
Yes,
why aren't you? Why are you not hooked up by Tank right now? Fuck's
yes,
sake.
Everyone. Knox Nostalgia Collectible for all of your comic book and vintage crap needs.
Because I'm not as big as Mile High, Midtown, or Nerd Emporium. That's why.
Well, you know, Midtown, if the only reason to get involved with Midtown is if you're in New York. That's about it. Otherwise, no. Don't do it.
Mile High does a shitload of distro through.
Well, that's Chuck. And Chuck's another person that's not allergic to money. So he's
very focused. I'm not really anywhere near their levels. I don't have millions of comic books in a warehouse. So
yet.
Yet.
All right, guys. So up next, we got Castlevania. The new season.
The final season.
It seems the final season, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Say that.
It is. No, this is the final season.
This is supposed to be the final.
I don't want it to be the final season. So in my mind, it's not.
So the penultimate episode, I felt, would have been the better ending point. Like, the final episode was just, they wanted their happy ending and they shoehorned it in.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of wish they wouldn't have done that. It would have made for a better ending, a stronger ending. And honestly, that's why I felt like we were getting another season, is because they tacked on that last episode and was like, okay, we're setting everything up so that when everyone returns, we will see all the characters you know and love.
See, and unfortunately, I think the reason that they did tack on that final episode was the bow on it, basically. This isn't going any further, so we need to end this in a way that people will be okay with.
Given the starry-eyed finish.
Like the penultimate episode ending?
Oh, yeah. Just I would have been better.
I'm trying not to go into spoilers. I felt like that was a very good, strong episode, and it would have been a really good ending because of the impact emotionally.
Well, it's the Dexter theory. It would have been better if it ended season 5.
Mm-hmm.
That if they ended the show with what's her face's death, and that's literally the end of it, that would have made an amazing story. But they didn't want to end it with that dark, horrible, you know.
But it's Dracula.
It's a story about a serial killer, and it's a story about Dracula. It needs to end dark.
Yes, at the end of this, everybody should have died. The Belmont family should have been wiped off the planet. There should have been, like, fucking scorched earth at the end of this. And, one or two peasants crawled out from a haystack to make sure, things had cleared. That's how it should have ended. Like, holy fuck, what did we just witness?
That should have been the end. I think it should have been the end of everyone but the sun. I'm trying to be obtuse.
I understand.
Yeah, through his memory of his companions, he embraced and created a new humanity.
And that's in the kind of, like I was saying, that's in the same vein of that Dexter ending of,
yeah,
you're kind of left with this, what the fuck? Yeah. Well, all right, well, he's fucked up. Let's see what happens, you know?
and now Dexter is coming back, so. All right, moving on to something I know Smurf was really excited about, and that was Army of the Dead.
Yes! This is an absolute train wreck of a film, and it is spectacular.
Oh, it is so fucking bad.
This is horrendous on so many levels, and I went back for seconds. I loved it so much. I love the fact that Batista gets to act.
Is this your Sharknado?
No.
It sounds like it.
There's time travel, there's zombies, there's aliens, there's robotic zombies. There are so many things that Snyder leaves in this film.
Snyder is a psycho.
Holy crap. I was waiting for like a Justice Leaguer or some other like weird
Green Lantern shows up in this movie.
Yeah, just all of a sudden, oh, I'm on the other line. I'm sorry. He goes wandering off. I mean,
I love Batista though. He did a very good job of trying to hold this fucking train on the tracks.
He
tried.
Well, he was not Drax.
No.
And you know what? That I think the man should get an Oscar for that. He was not Drax. He was as far removed from Drax and still a badass as humanly possible.
Oh yeah, he did a good job. He did a great action hero job.
But the rest of the shit story that was I saw
fucked.
What the fuck was that? I mean, good God.
The opening sequence, and by that I mean the opening credit, 3.5 minutes?
Oh, the cold open?
Ugh.
Yeah.
I was angry by the end of it because of how
how stupid was. Yes, how dumb and stupid and like, what? Wait.
Just drawn out. Unnecessarily drawn out. Just this extended.
The Living Dead 3 all over again.
Yeah.
It
was an extended sequence of blah zombies.
Well, it's like Snyder tried to take his shot at dialogue Guy Ritchie style and
fucked it up just massively.
Fucking face planted right there on the concrete. Just like, wow. Okay. Definitely not one of your stronger dialogues.
No. Which is weird a little bit for him because he's usually pretty decent at dialogue.
He's usually pretty decent. I mean, I like the back and forth between Aquaman and Batman and everything that he gave Batflick. I mean, it was well done. But this is just painful.
What it reminds me? It reminded me of the dialogue from Resident Evil 1. The story was interesting to play out, but the dialogue was dog shit.
Yes. And there's just so many like backstabby ass backwards bullshit stuff. Just
unnecessary and unprovoked fuckery.
So the funny story, before I saw this, I finally went and saw Wrath of Man, speaking of Guy Ritchie.
Oh, yeah.
So Jason Statham does the exact opposite of any role he's ever done. He just sits there and is stoic through all of it.
Yeah, beat the shit out of anybody.
No, not well, he does till the end. But, I mean, it was like total role reversal where everybody dies in that film and everyone dies in this film. And it's just like, good God, I still think Wrath of Man was way better as far as like the plot and story and the carnage, but God, just watching this army was just, and there's going to be more.
Oh, yeah.
You know there's going to be more because of the time traveling hint. The effects were great. And
that was cool. I will say that. And then when it came to just straight zombie slaying, they had some pretty cool stretches of action.
They did, and and Siegfried and Roy's zombie tiger, which I laughed my ass
off. As soon as they said that, I'm like, oh fuck, really?
makes total sense. Fuck that tiger. And I mean, even like when the zombies came out of the elevator and twisted that woman's head completely around, I was like, and her collarbone, the collarbone that snapped up at the end after her head had already been around a good 10 seconds, was just like. Oh,
the gore was impressive.
It was,
but the story was just awful.
Whacked, and we had a zombie queen. It was. But a zombie queen. Who knew? Who knew?
Well, you know, zombie queens are awesome.
No, I meant not this one. Not this one.
Very attractive. Zombie queen.
You know, she did have some very attractive gore makeup. Yeah. She was relatively alluring, I have to admit.
Although she did look a lot like God damn it, Suicide Squad. What the hell's her name? The main bad guy in Suicide Squad.
Oh, the Enchantress?
Yes, the Enchantress.
She did have some similarities.
She had a very Enchantress look to her.
Actually, yeah. I think the zombie queen had more clothes than the Enchantress.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Which was kind of odd for it being in Vegas.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
But it was great to see showgirls chasing down gamblers and
that
eating them. That okay. was really awesome.
All right.
They did the zombie montage at the beginning, and it was
satisfying. The zombies and the army of the dead. Otherwise, we're all just going to be like super excited about that. And instead, let's talk about, oh my God, what's happening with the costuming in Black Adam?
It's very reminiscent of the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly kind of playing right into what Shazam did. I'm not surprised by this at all.
It's Shazam.
Yeah.
It's
Shazam.
But it's the exact same costume that he got in the New 52 when they relaunched. And him and Shazam looked almost identical. So yeah.
The Rock's going to look good in it, but it's who cares?
Hey, he's the only one that doesn't have a muscle suit on. Okay.
Yeah, true.
No, actually, I was reading this article about Black Adam the other day, saying how in most superhero movies, there's just like the one really beefy guy. And in Black Adam, there's going to be a lot of guys who've been trying to do excessive amounts of bodybuilding because they have to stand next to The Rock.
Yeah, there's you can't compete with that.
Compete with that. That's embarrassing.
A lot of guys are trying.
I applaud the dedication, but you're just stupid.
when they try and jam him and Zachary Levi together.
That is just going to be embarrassing.
That is going to be embarrassing for Zachary.
It's going to be so huge.
Yeah, he's going to look like his little brother.
He is.
Like a 10. And The Rock.
10-year-old in his dad's costume from Halloween. I mean, it's just going to be, oh my God, horrible.
He's what, like 3 inches taller than him, 50 pounds heavier than him, and completely ripped out of his mind.
Yeah. I mean, The Rock has been doing this forever. And Zachary Levi, God love him. We love Chuck. We think he's a stellar guy. Well, we shouldn't have been calling.
He's hilarious.
But he is not a bodybuilder.
No, he's not a body dude.
No, I'm telling you, they're going to look like a 10. You're going to have the skinny ass, you know, Zachary or, you know, Levi. And then you're going to have, like, the big buff, you know, zero shaped person, which is The Rock.
I'm hoping they give him the Nanjiani treatment.
I'd like to get the Kumail Nanjiani treatment.
And just put him through, like, a rigorous, like, full year of just body development.
Even with that, he's still going to look like The Rock's little brother.
Well, he's going to be smaller, but you got to get at least close to, you know.
The Rock's going to damn it doll him. Where you thought what Hulk did to Loki in the first Avengers was bad? What do you see what the fuck he does to him? This is going to be awesome. I am so excited for this film.
The fact that he looks like the Hulk and isn't CGI'd, you know.
Yeah. His veins have veins coming out of them. I mean, man, it's just, it's massive. I mean, I even read an article the other day where Batista was complaining that he said, like, I'm going to be 52 when Guardians 3 is done. He's like, the time for me taking my shirt off is kind of past. And I'm thinking, well, if your time is past, how old is The Rock, who I think is older than you, and is drop of a hat ready to take his shirt off?
The Rock,
I mean,
I think they're the same age.
Are they? So they're both going to be 52.
He was, it would have been 94. He was 21. So, yeah, he's like 48 or 49, something like that. Or I think.
So they're relatively about the same age. They're approaching their 50s. And I don't know. I mean, both are massive. Don't get me wrong. I know both could pop me like a pimple. I get that. I just punch him in the kneecap and run and pray to God they don't catch me. But yeah,
he's,
I mean,
49. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, these guys are just ridiculously stacked. I mean, even Arnie wasn't this big at this point of his career.
No, not anywhere close. Stallone was, but that's because he was on HGH.
Yeah, but Stallone was doing the boxing show. He was also doing, like, you know, his action films still. Yeah, I mean, he was still hardcore. And he's also, what, 3 feet shorter than these guys?
I think he is fairly short, yes.
So,
not as short as Tom Cruise.
Not as short as Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is like 5 foot.
We're talking about The Rock. I have to bring up Tom Cruise just to make Stash feel better.
Our buddy Tom Cruise.
Okay. So, in other superhero news, The Eternals, you know, we've seen some costuming and some imaging coming out of that. And my oh my.
Trailer was cool.
Trailer is cool.
The trailer is cool. No idea.
I mean, this is like a whole new cosmic level of greatness. It's just that we have no context. We really don't know.
Find origin story.
It looks like it.
A what has happened since story. And why they weren't there, basically.
Well, I think we get we do get the joke of, now that, you know, Rogers and Iron Man are gone, maybe I should go lead the Avengers joke.
Yeah,
and everybody just laughs at the table, which was just great. Like, yeah, whatever. So, I mean, maybe we do get a little bit more of a hint and a larger view of the cosmic forces that the MCU is going to be bringing in. We know Adam Warlock's coming in for sure. We've got freaking horrible choices in Olympian gods coming, but we'll talk about that another time.
You mean Russell?
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring up names.
Well, he's going to die in the first 5 minutes of that movie, so.
The desecrator of La Miz. Huh?
I said, Tank, don't give me that kind of hope.
Yeah.
Well, if they're telling Gore the God Butcher, Zeus is fucked.
Yeah, so, pretty much. The desecrator Love Miz is about to get his.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Just a hint, if you didn't understand Gore the God Butcher by name alone, what he...
But I don't know how early Gore shows up in the movie.
He takes a big fucking sword and jacks all the gods up.
I know
from
that.
Any race.
Gore is. I get that. But we don't know how early he shows up.
I think he shows up at the beginning of the film and it's Thor trying to track him down because Thor suddenly realizes that his god buddies are starting to lean out. And he goes on this basic bloodbath across the cosmos of trying to piece together what's gone on, who's dead and who's alive. Mm-hmm. So it could be like right out of the gate that we see
Gore checking Gore.
Gore getting gory, so
yeah,
I'm just excited Christian Bale like put his foot down. He's like, I don't want any CGI, I want actual makeup applied, I want actual prosthetics. So I'm kind of excited to see what they pull
he's
up
for. He's a really
this.
Dedicated actor.
He is. He's extremely dedicated, and he's all about the craft. So
even though his voice can be weird sometimes, he is good generally speaking.
So.
But we'll. I mean, the film looks promising. Eternals is still a dog when it comes to Marvel, and the characters have never really been able to get out of the gate.
I think this is just like franchise. Guardians, where the comics just don't translate well, but the story that Feige and his team create is going to be cool.
The comics never No, Guardians comic translated a hell of a lot better than Eternals ever will.
It was still kind of unless you're a comic nerd, not a lot of people know who the fuck the Guardians were.
Oh, so you call me a nerd. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the name of the show. Yeah.
I don't know. And I could be wrong. This may come out extremely heavy hitting and they've got enough star power behind it. So, and I like the little love story that we kind of got a taste of in the trailer. So,
oh yeah. I think they're going to do a lot of interconnecting, and they're going to the Eternals is going to be expanding everything. It's the reason we weren't there is because all of this shit actually exists.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think it's important. So we'll see what happens.
It's kind of the Captain Marvel thing. Like, I wasn't here to save the day because I was saving other places where you guys don't.
Right. Earth is not the only planet.
Yeah.
So. And then the last thing I have on our list for this evening that makes me like whirled out of my everything is the fact that not only are we getting In the Heights this year, we're also getting Dear Evan Hansen, the movie, which is premiering in theaters in September, the end of September this year. And Dear Evan Hansen is such an intense and beautiful and like gut-wrenching musical, and I absolutely love it. I've got the opportunity to see it twice in theaters, and I'm super, super excited that they are making this into a film. The first trailer was just released, so it's.
Do we know who the director is?
Yes, we do. So,
have they done any other musicals of similar styling?
So first off, Ben Platt, who won a Tony for this, is going to be reprising his role as Evan Hansen.
Okay.
That's not a bad idea, I guess.
Evan Hansen.
And Stephen Chbosky, who directed Wonder and The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Okay.
I like that film.
Yeah, I do too. And I could see how the cinematography in that can be directed to make a really interesting theater adaptation.
So the whole premise of Evan Hansen is there's a kid in high school who has severe depression, and he has to write these letters to himself, like, Dear Evan Hansen, today's going to be a good day and here's why. Another kid at his school finds the letter. And then the kid who finds the letter and is making fun of Evan for writing the letter ends up committing suicide. And the letter is found on him and everybody thinks it's his suicide note.
Oh, heavy.
And Evan lets everybody think that because all of a sudden he went from having no friends and everybody ignoring him to being the center of attention and having all of these people think that he's important to someone.
Oh, shit. That is
Heavy.
Very, very dark. It's incredibly heavy.
So
It's insanely intense. It's insanely heavy, and it's insanely beautiful.
Fox?
Yep.
Yeah, please. Fox? Fox, are you still there?
Yep. So I am excited about this. I haven't seen the trailer yet, but I've heard really good things, and I've never had the opportunity to see it in theaters. So that's going to be really cool. The trailer for The Heights looks really like great, really exciting. That one's going to be really fun. Another one that I haven't had the chance to see yet because I just don't have the opportunity to see Broadway plays.
Yeah, it's all right. So yeah, it's going to be super exciting. Fox is cutting out. I'm assuming there's something going on with his internet.
She's off her way to go see a Broadway play.
Good, yes, which is fantastic. So,
well, I'm excited to watch that film, and if the opportunity arises, I would enjoy seeing the play.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I think doing a comparison between the two would be really fabulous. So that's everything we have on the agenda for this evening. So if anybody has any comments, questions, concerns, or whatnot, do not hesitate to ever reach out and, you know, touch base with your five favorite nerds or us.
Absolutely. Give us a like, give us a share, give us a subscribe. We love subscribers. Please check out our channels. Love us, leave us, whichever. But just know that we are the Nerds That Know. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.